Hi everybody, and welcome back to another Thursday live stream, which we're putting out here on the Podbeans, and we're also putting across on the Getters, I think. And hopefully, whether you're watching this or listening to this one live or in playback, you'll enjoy the next hour of fun and games. I can see you all joining. I can see Adrian. I can see Leslie. Paul, I can see you as well. Thank you guys for all being here. And of course, Jed's in the studio with me. Good evening, Jed.
Good evening, David. Good evening, everybody, and welcome.
I hope it didn't catch you out, Jed, by coming to you too quickly.
Yeah, you did a bit there, David. I
I
was
thought it
busy
did,
trying to press
yeah.
buttons.
Yeah,
I was just trying to make sure the stream is going out on Getter and all sorts of things. And then you went, "Oh, and Jed," and you normally do a preamble. It gives me a few minutes.
I know. My goodness, we have a musical accompaniment. Can I also say hello to our good supporter, Nath, thanks for being here as well. I see our friend City Troll has entered the studio as well, all the way over in the USA. Nath, yes, I see your reference regarding Twitter. I'll talk about that in a minute. But it's good to see you there. So actually, yeah, let me just start then. So listen, we got loads of stuff. Adrian, if you want to come into the studio, just do the normal thing, and you'll be extremely welcome on the to join Paddy, Jed, and myself. So yes, as some of you may have noticed, or maybe not, I am back on Twitter. Yeah, can you imagine? 2 years and two months since I was taken off that platform. I am back on that platform. Actually, it reminds me of, you know that Sinead O'Connor song, "Nothing Compares to You." It starts off with something like, was it something like X days and some weeks since you've been away? So I keep thinking 2 years, 2 months since I've been away. But anyway, I am back. And the liberal tears will flow, I'm afraid, because Twitter has become someone. Max comes out with a brilliant call. I love doing this stream, guys. I really do. And the reason I love it is I just seen Max as his comment here. He says, "David, there's rain forecast for tomorrow in Qatar. FIFA are cancelling all matches in case there's a rainbow." Top man, Max. Top man. Adrian says his account has been suspended, but I can't follow anyone. So,
So,
Adrian, yeah, tell us what's happened to you, because that's interesting.
I've had five Twitter accounts banned over the years, and today I saw a post to say that certain people had been allowed back on. So I logged into Twitter, and your account has been suspended, notification has been removed, but I still cannot follow anyone or post a tweet. So something's happening. It's good to see you're back on, but hopefully it'll be a while before I.
Well, it's my sincere hope that. Oh, by the way, Jed, David is saying that there's no sound on Getter, I
Yeah, I'm
see.
working
So,
on it, David, working on it.
yep, that's right, Jed. Yeah, I'll chat away for a minute. I want to see Adrian, everybody back. I mean, the thing about this, my own situation is, as you know, I mean, I was jumped on 2 years, 2 months ago, by lefties who just were waiting for a moment to pounce on me. I do think the government wasn't happy with my approach to COVID. The fact that I was a rejectionist of masks, I was a rejectionist of lockdowns, and in due course, of course, a rejectionist for vaccines. But the thing is that the I wasn't begging them to get back, Adrian. So how I found out about this today was somebody sent me a message on my Getter account saying, "David, you're back on Twitter," and I didn't know. And in fact, it's only been in the past couple of hours that I've received an email from Twitter telling me that my account was unsuspended. It had been done an error, and they apologized. So I've had that in the past couple of hours. And the thing is, I've only ever had one account. I can't do the multiple account things. I'm only ever me. So whenever I was banned, that was it. I was gone. Hi, Chris Davies. Welcome to the stream, my friend. Good to see you. It's always good to see you. And good to see everyone who's on the stream at the moment. So I found out this morning that I'd been put back on Twitter. And Adrian, what I'm finding is that, well, number one, I'm overwhelmed by the response from people on it. It's staggering, the response. And I am able to follow people, Adrian, and I am able to accept followers. Although I have to say, I'm very rusty. I've tried to send to Jed earlier today that, you know, it's been so long that, and I'm so adept, I'm reasonably adept on some of the other platforms like Getter and Gab and so on and so forth, that because I use them regularly, but I haven't used Twitter for a couple of years. So it was really weird. And initially I didn't really know what to do, to be quite honest. Don't worry, I'll get warmed up. Sorry, Adrian, you wanted to come in?
Yeah, I was sorry. Good evening, everyone, first and foremost. But this shows to people that the tide is starting to turn. Twitter, when you understand what Twitter is and how it was operated, it was the bullhorn for the deep state as such. They were able to push their narrative, and anybody that spoke out, they took the voice down so that that one narrative was not interrupted. It was just the same people repeating and repeating and promoting the same narratives. But it's good to see that Musk has now stepped up to the plate and started unsuspending people so that we can start to put alternative views out there, because there's so much truth coming out about Fauci, about the vaccines, and so many other things that we were all suspended for.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I say our friend City Troll, I want to welcome Patty to the platform, who says, the only thing I'm banned on is Facebook, and that's David's fault. I'm so sorry about that, Patty. Welcome to the stream, Patty.
Oh, welcome, welcome. Yeah, that cracks me up. When they banned you, they banned me as being connected to you, but eventually they let you back on Facebook. They've never let me back on.
I don't think I've ever been banned by Facebook. Listen. I don't care. I just don't care.
Neither do I. But the thing is about Twitter, the other worst thing that ever happened to me on Twitter was I got banned for 24 hours, and it was because of they took the ban off because all I do mostly, except for one or two snarky remarks, all I do is repost other people's like news articles that points out their idiocy, and that's what I responded to the ban. I said, excuse me, I tweeted a news story. You're gonna blame me for the news story? So I was like, eh. But like, no, it's gotten a lot better. The thing is, what I love the most fun right now about Twitter is watching the leftists go nuts. I'm leaving. I've had enough. It's like, oh, I can't go. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. If you can't discuss the issues and actually debate for a change, then nobody wants you here.
that's absolutely the point. Chris Davey says Marcus Rashford's father is currently lobbying Parliament to get you banned again, David. How dare you say that, Chris Davies? I'm Marcus's number one fan. Everybody knows that. Anyway, the Marcus Rashford was only a reason to ban me was an excuse. They banned me because of my relentless opposition to all things COVID, basically, as simple as that. And a warm welcome to Sharpie79. Thank you so much for being here with me. It's good to see you as well. It's good to see everybody. John Saunderson as well, Jonesy. See you all, guys. Thanks for being here. And it's like this. Adrian says the left can't debate. Once you use facts and logic to destroy their arguments, they lose it and report you. Exactly. I think the new Twitter under Elon Musk, and I would have, the thing is, you only can judge people in this world, in this life, by their actions, you know, not what they say, but what they do. And when I see what Musk is doing, I have to think that it seems okay, and it might not be. You know, I'm not naive, but look, by the same token, after a couple of years, I'm actually able to be back, and I've got an audience of 148,000 people over there, roughly, and that's not bad, considering I haven't done anything for a couple of years. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it rock and rolls. But anyway, it is interesting to see these developments, and I really hope that other people like Katie Hopkins, like Tommy Robinson, Stephen Molyneux, so many people, I can't name them all. And of course, people like Adrian as well. I want to see everybody back. I've had several messages today from people trying to, yeah, Sharpie, I see your comment. I've had several messages today. In fact, I've been overwhelmed today, to be quite honest. People saying, look, how did you get it back? But the answer is, I didn't do anything. But then I never did anything wrong in the first place. It just happened. So it's weird. It's really weird. It's been a strange day. I also wanted to say, by the way, and this is directed at all those listening on Getter, that just because I'm back on Twitter doesn't mean I abandon Getter. Getter is proven to be a good place for me. Again, just like here in Podbean, there's such great people on Getter. So I want to salute all of you folks on Getter. I want to let you know that you'll still get your content from me every day. It's a delight to know all of you Getter people and to have, you know, become friendly with a lot of you. So nothing changes there. It's just that, frankly, Twitter is another front in the information war, and I will use every front I can get to try and get facts and evidence and truth out there. And it's as simple as that. So all you Getter folks, do not despair. I ain't going anywhere. And as for all the libs on Twitter who have already started to attack me, no, sorry, I'm not rising to your bait. To your bait. I'm older. I'm wiser. I don't care what you guys have to. I don't care what deranged leftists have to say, except their salty tears are flowing. So yeah, Adrian, I wouldn't even report them. I don't care. They mean so little to me, you know. So anyway, listen, that's enough talk about Twitter and me. Anyway, don't want to bore you with that. So let's start off. Shall we kick off? If you get the analogy, shall we kick off with the World Cup? Now, Jed, I'm going to come to you in this one first, actually. No, I'm giving you warning. So Jed isn't a huge fan of football. I'm probably a wee bit more of a fan of football than Jed. But this World Cup in Qatar, I mean, first of all, I see your comments. Yeah, obviously, we're not alone in not watching it. But you cannot have missed the stories. And the story is, it seems to be all about the promotion of the LGBTQ+ agenda. That I didn't realize that was what the World Cup was about, and about rainbow armbands, and about, you know, people being able to virtue signal their sexual preference. Chad, what's your view on the fact that the Qatar authorities have said, no, you're not doing that in our stadiums? What do you think?
Well, firstly, can I apologise to Getter followers for the lack of sound at the beginning of this? I don't know what went wrong. Everything was working absolutely fine when I was playing the gentle intro music before the show started, and then it all went a bit peak-tongue. But I think we're back on now. I know you can hear us, so that's absolutely brilliant. Right, David, to answer your question, well, you see, I think you've got it wrong, because they're going on about LGBT, but we know how stupid and how thick footballers are. It's the alphabet they're trying to learn, and they're stuck on our LGBTQ, okay? That's what they're stuck on. So they need somebody to teach them their ABCs, and I think that's what it is, and I think we've got it all confused here. Yeah. Well, however, what I would say is, one, we all knew before they even awarded the World Cup to Qatar what Qatar's rules were on LGBTQ, RFPWXYZ.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
We knew that, but we still give it them. And then when it came up to it, they said, we don't do what you do in the West. We like to kill our gays. Yeah. And the West, they went, we'll come. Here's the billions on the sponsorship and Budweiser. Oh, yeah, Budweiser will sponsor it, $750 million. And what did they say? Budweiser, two fingers up to you. You're not selling your beer here. Yeah. It was on the cards from the outset. But nobody in the West gave a flying fig about that. Yep. Absolutely not. All they were looking at was the dollar signs that they could rake, whether it's Qatar raking it in, whether it's a sponsorships raking it in, whether it's a soccer pundits raking it in. Every single one of them are hypocrites, absolute hypocrites. They'll take the dollar and then they'll get on one knee. Yeah, I just have no time for them at all.
That's okay, Jed.
I'm sitting on the fence.
You made me do it. So, Adrian, I'll come to Paddy. I'll come to you after Adrian. Adrian, what's your what's your thinking in this whole just bizarre chorus of LGBT plus rights and the World Cup?
I'm a massive football fan, so usually excited about the World Cup. This World Cup, I cannot really get excited about, to be honest. Couple of points. Sharpie talked about the backhanders to Blatter. There's a book called The Ugly Game. If you read it, it will tell you the level of corruption that was involved in how Qatar got this World Cup, and it will actually blow your minds with just how brazen these people were and didn't care. It's Qatar's house. When you go to somebody's house, you have to abide by their rules, and they have been blatantly clear from the start. We do not accept this as part of our culture. So why should we now go in there and say, well, actually, you need to change. You need to do this. Now, these teams that have been so virtue signaling, i.e. the Germans with their hands over their mouths, people not being able to wear armbands. If you genuinely cared, pardon me, if you genuinely cared about this issue, you would have wore the armbands. You would have spoke out because you would get fined. So what? If the FA and all these other FAs genuinely cared about these rights, they would pay the fines. But they didn't. They're like, oh, we can't do it now because we'll get in trouble. But, you know, if you really, really genuinely cared, speak out. But you're not doing so. So, we also had Budweiser as well. That was brilliant. 2 days before the World Cup starts, all the hundreds of millions they've invested in it, and they can't make the vast profits that they were hoping to.
Yeah. That was particularly sweet, Adrian. I laughed at Budweiser because it was the Qatari royal family said, oh yeah, by the way, there's not going to be any booze in the stadiums or immediately around the stadiums. I think it's allowed in the fan zones, Adrian, I think, but they're not at the stadiums. So, and none of this is a surprise. Everyone knows Qatar is a Muslim country, just like, you know, like Dubai and like all these other countries. And, you know, if you've been to those countries, and I've been to Dubai several times, you know what you're letting yourself in for. You know, there is no drinking in the street. And by the way, I think that's a good thing. There's more kind of decorum. I think that's a good thing as well. So, yeah, it's hypocrisy, isn't it? It's an absolute hypocrisy of the authorities. Yeah, Jed.
Sorry, just to butt in there, gents. I know our Getter friends did have some trouble hearing me when I had my little rant. I hope the sound has been fixed. If you can on Getter, just give us a thumbs up or something to let me know that you can now hear me. Sorry to interrupt there, David. I'll pass back to you.
Thanks. Northern Monkey saying, this is interesting. The fan zone is charging £240 a game plus... a three drink maximum, apparently. Oh my goodness, that's Paddy. I'm gonna come to you, Adrian. Maybe come back in a second, but Paddy, you've been sitting there patiently. £240.
I got two things on this. All right, number one, it's the World Cup, which is great, and I know every other country in the world, this is the big thing, but I'm sorry, it's just soccer. And I could care less, but the issue, the LGBTQ football. Issue, and the issue of coming in there, of it's not football. Football men is a manly sport.
Football.
but anyway, the whole thing with the LGBT, they're kowtowing to the politics back home. Like you said, Adrian was right. They should have taken the fine. If they had any principle, if you had principle, standing for your, what you believe is right, always costs you something. It may cost you your Twitter account. It may cost you, but you stood up for what you believe is right. These players can't even take a friggin' fine for wearing for doing what was going to be the protest. They're being wimps, and they have no spine, so it's all just for show. They don't mean what they say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the other thing is that amused me enormously was, did you see, Adrian, did you see the German team? The German team, because they couldn't put on their rainbow-coloured armbands, decided as a strong protest that they would stand, the team photograph was taken, Adrian, with their hands over their mouth, as in, you know, we've been gagged, we've been gagged. This was against Japan. And then what happens, Adrian? Brilliantly, Japan beat them 2-1. Oh, what a shocker.
It's great to see all this virtue signaling blowing up in their face. But again, you know, if you genuinely cared, you wouldn't care about a fine or a ban for a game, because it would put the issue out there. And the one thing I found totally staggering was the head of FIFA and his virtue signaling the day before the tournament.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm a migrant worker. I'm gay. I'm this. I'm that.
Yeah, I'm disabled. Well, he said all those things. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how many migrant workers travel business class, get paid millions of pounds a year, and get treated like a head of state no matter where they go. You know, and it just shows the level of hypocrisy, unawareness of everything that's going on. And yeah, FIFA is. Honestly, the book, The Ugly Game, you need to read it. It is absolutely staggering about the level of corruption and how brazen they were about it.
I mean, the other thing, Adrian, to throw in here is that, again, talk about patronising. Did you see that just before their first game, the English squad allowed some migrants to come on the pitch and kick the ball around with them? And I thought to myself, if ever there was anything, I mean, this shows, you know, we're doing our bit to flag up the issue. No, they weren't. They were just showing their absolute virtue signaling hypocrisy. Jed, did you see that story about the English team training with migrants, as if that's going to make a damn bit of difference to the situation that migrants or the, you know, the migrant workers in Qatar face?
I didn't actually, David, but I'm sorry. I have to agree with everything everybody said tonight. The principles, the morals, only stretch as far as their wallet. If money can change your principle, it's not a principle.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that is the problem. All these people, Gary Lineker's, all the pundits, all the TV channels, you know, new sports reporters, you name it, and all the football players are all happy to go, yes, I'll wear the rainbow thing, I'll stand the ground, I'll wear the one love armband, until somebody says, well, if you do, you will get a yellow card, and if you do it again, you'll get a red card, and therefore you'll miss a match. Oh, I'm not missing a match. Oh, no, I've got to have my 90 minutes of fame. Oh, no, don't take the fame away from me. Don't take the check away from me, because obviously it would lead to a ban in the end. Don't take that paycheck away from me. I mean, what do England players get for playing for England? What, £120,000,
£150,000? Vast amount.
Well, I know, I think that's what they get, but then there is sponsorships and stuff. But as a paycheck from the England team, I think that's all they get. Well, most of them get that per day for their clubs. So make your stand, because you're not losing money. You still have multi-millions every week for your club. Stand there and wear the armband if that's what you really believe. But don't tell me that you're going to stand up for LGBT rights and then the second somebody waves a yellow card in your face, you back down. That is not a principle.
Yeah, but my question is, and there's an article coming out tomorrow over on davidvance.net, folks, so have a read of that when it's published, my Friday column. Since when did football, I suppose, but generally sport, why is it LGBTQ plus have anything to do with it? Why is there any connection? Sport is sport. Why does this particular agenda get itself inserted? Why is it seen as like the pinnacle of all that's holy and good? I find this extraordinarily...
Because it's a cancer. It's a cancer. It's a limpet. It's a cancer of society. That's what it is.
Yeah, Paddy, do you want to come in on that?
Oh, definitely. You know, it is the LGBT, the climate change. These are the plagues of these are the philosophical cancers of the Western society, and they're tools being used by in the old days they would call communists. Today they're progressives or whatever, or globalists or whatever. There's just, we're in charge and you're going to do as we say, that group. And they use the tool of the LGBT community. They're pawns for them. Just like if it wasn't them, it would be blacks. It would be immigrants, which they alternate. Immigrants is another group. These are just tools for that one group that wants to maintain control, and they can only maintain control because the planet's going to dissolve from the heat. We're making Thanksgiving dinner for a turkey in the background. Sorry. That's my wife Monica throwing pots and pans around.
Yes. Hey, listen, my best regards to Monica, and of course a very happy Thanksgiving to yourselves,
you.
Paddy, and to all my other American friends out there. Of course, there's a comment I wanted to read out from M. Gall. Thank you, M. Gall, by the way, for putting it out. And I missed it, because I missed the show. But apparently the BBC's opening show of the World Cup football managed to squeeze in migrant workers, climate change, LGBTQ, and even Putin annexing Crimea. And as he puts it, or he or she puts it, nothing but pure propaganda from the BBC. Amen, brother, to that. But that's what the BBC is. It's an absolute propagandist channel. It's absolute, you know, absolutely vile. And therefore, I'm sure, Adrian, as I say, although I am sort of half interested in it, I find the coverage, you know, having to endure Gary Lineker, it's hard to take, Adrian.
It is. It is one of the biggest virtue signaling pricks that ever walked the earth. But anyway, it's the psychology behind England having the migrant workers train them with them. Pardon me, because we have a large problem at the moment with the migrants crossing the channel. So it's the subliminal images that sends to the rest of the people back home. Like the England players are prepared to, you know, highlight their cases and all that. So you should be sympathetic to these people. And that's the narrative that's being portrayed to us. As for the LGBTQ, whatever, narrative, they are trying to force this through by any means. So through sports, through TV, through our kids in school, this is an agenda that they are so heavily invested in and that they are trying to force on us.
Yeah. Yeah. Leslie makes a very, I think a lot of us must feel like this. Leslie says here, I used to love watching England. Now I'd shut the curtains if they were playing in my garden. And Leslie, I think from listening to, you know, Jed and Adrian and reading all the comments, I think that is, that's pretty much a common feeling, you know. And it's kind of sad, you know. I mean, the way things like football have been corrupted, like Adrian's pointed out, and I haven't read that book, Adrian, but I would imagine that it is corrupted to the core. I used to know someone who worked in FIFA headquarters, and I got to hear some stuff there, and it's you know, and that's going back a few years now, and it was pretty.
Sorry for interrupting. That book was written by journalists from the Sunday Times who had all the emails. And honestly, there was a guy called Bin Salman who was in charge of the Qatari sort of bid. And he brought all the delegates out to Qatar, wined and dined them and, you know, trying to influence their votes. And yeah. It was one of the African delegates sent an email saying, thank you for your hospitality. If you want to count on my vote, I need a new Toyota Land Cruiser and my daughter needs funds for university. And it was paid. And once Qatar won the vote to host the World Cup, Blatter knew his days were numbered. Because he thought, if this guy can swing a World Cup for Qatar, I'm in trouble. And this is why Blatter hung him out to dry. And then in the end, it came back to bite Blatter in the ass because the FBI stepped in and started arresting different ones for the corruption. But it's a phenomenal book, if anybody.
Okay, so so there's a good recommendation from Adrian, everybody.
We'll get that up on the site, David.
Brilliant.
We'll put a link to that on the site at davidvance.net.
Yeah, thanks. You know, Leslie says she was very sad. She says, I was disappointed when England won on Monday. Ha, good for you, Leslie. So was I. I was back in Iran all the way. Because the other thing, we can't finish this topic without mentioning this in passing. The England team took the knee before the first game they had against Iran. Adrian, how cringe was that?
Totally, because they did not have the nerve to wear the LGBTQ armband. So if you have a principle, do it. But yet, we won't wear an armband, but we'll get on our knees. You know, that is totally contradictory. And it just shows how weak and spineless the FA are. They're trying to push a narrative about getting on the knees to end racism, but yet they won't stand up for the LGBTQ plus community. So to me, it was just another case of poor virtue signaling by people who have no idea how the real world operates.
Yeah, it's all a big circus, isn't it? Northern Monkey says maybe they were kneeling for the dead construction workers. Yep, understand that point. John Saunderson says he's cancelled his TV BBC license, so he can't watch it live anyway. Yeah, John, I don't think you're missing anything anyway. That's one of the things.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you know, so just want to say a big thank you to everybody here in the Podbean. Thank you for all the golden beans or whatever they're called. Just banging Q, Adrian sends on. I appreciate all of that. And yeah, thanks. We're going to move on. I'm going to blow the whistle on this. But as I say,
stop it.
I know. I'm stealing your clothes tonight, Jed. I'm coming out. With
you are, mate. You are.
But tomorrow, as I say, on davidvance.net, on my regular Friday column, you'll be able to read a more extended version of my thoughts on the World Cup. So we're into extra time, says Northern Monkey. Right. Red carded for keeping the puns going. I wanted to move on to something else, more important than the World Cup, actually, much more important. And it's to do with bird flu. Now, what prompted this in me is that I'll lay it out and then you guys come in on it. So bird flu is essentially at the moment the reason why, for example, in the UK, people are restricted in some of the major supermarkets to going in and only you're restricted to buying three packs of six eggs. And that's Tesco and Lidl and Asda, I think. They've got limitations on the number of eggs. Why is that, you might say? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the UK is currently suffering a very bad bout of bird flu. Very bad bout of bird flu. And therefore, they're having to, farmers are being told that they have to lock down the birds. So the birds are all being kept indoors. They're not allowed to go out. Does that remind you of anything? Maybe March 2020? The birds aren't allowed to go out. And the consequence is obviously then that there's fewer eggs being laid and hence the shortage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nath says there's no eggs in any shop where he lives in Northwest London. Yeah, I would well imagine that. Now, I did a little podcast, quite a long podcast on this earlier today. And did you know that when bird flu first came out, just hit you with three facts on bird flu, where did it occur, first of all? Yeah, China. All right. How was it identified? PCR tests. All right. I see. And what's the solution for it? Well, basically just mass slaughter of the animals from time to time. And there you go. So bird flu's a scam. Bird flu doesn't exist. There's no such thing, in my view, as bird flu. And when I started to uncover the brutality, folks, of the farming methods, the factory farming of birds is absolutely horrific. And the so-called free-range birds, the free range is not what you think. Adrian, I'll come to you first and then Paddy and then Chet. Adrian, on bird flu, I mean, I've just told you what I think about it in short summary. I think it's a massive scam. It's about restricting our food supply and so on and so forth. What do you think?
Couldn't agree more. At the very start of the millennium, we had a bird flu scare back then. Do you remember? Early 2000s, we had it then. And nothing like this happened. We didn't have a mass culling of birds. We didn't have egg shortages or a meat shortage from chicken, turkeys, things like that. So this is just adding more to the potential food shortages that we will be facing in the coming sort of years, I think. And it's just another way of driving prices up. And as I said before, when people are cold, people are hungry, they'll agree to anything you want.
Yeah. Paddy, I'll come to you next in this one. Obviously, I presume you're sitting down to turkey, a turkey dinner.
Of course.
Turkey Thanksgiving. But bird flu is apparently present across the world.
Well, I find this interesting because it was just about 2 months ago. They just came into. I live in the part of Pennsylvania I live in right now. That's all they have is chicken farms and regular farms. And I live amongst the Amish. They just came in and slaughtered over a million birds on three Amish farms, and said they all had bird flu. But right now they're having a war against the Amish. So whether the bird flu is real or not, I don't know. But I know they just killed like over a million chickens. But here's the thing. They killed a million chickens in just like one county in Pennsylvania. There was no egg shortage. We got plenty. The eggs are plentiful. So that's the whole thing. What I'm worried about is the railroad strike that's about to happen like 6 weeks before Christmas. You know?
Yeah.
That's what's really going to screw things up. But now it's like the bird flu itself, I don't really want to weigh in because it's something that it's a carrier. Bird flu is a carrier virus. Bird flu is easy to adapt for germ warfare, and like bird flu has been something that's been around for like since man's used birds as a feedstock.
Well, to be precise, bird flu, or the initial bird flu, which Adrian Rex talked about there, Paddy, it was called H5N1. As a virus, as an alleged virus, has never been isolated. It's never been in purified form. There's never been any evidence of it. The evidence for bird flu is that if you do a PCR test on a bloody bird, a PCR test on a bird, then you can get a positive result, and that proves that it exists. Well, those who listen to me know my views on COVID-19. Jed, as you know, my views are very much on COVID-19. And as far as I'm concerned, if you cannot show the virus exists outside of a lab, it doesn't exist outside of a lab.
If you can't isolate it in nature, it's something that somebody played with, you know.
Yeah, that's it, Paddy. Yeah, but Jed, would you agree with Adrian that this is all part of just essentially screwing up the food supply chain, basically, for want of a better word, and again, you know, making life more and more difficult for just ordinary people?
You will eat the bugs, and if you don't, we'll force you to eat them because you won't have any other food to eat.
Mm.
If you think how many food products contain egg. If we get rid of egg, we can get rid of things like pasta, cakes, you name it. There's a whole host of food products that are based on egg. So we can get rid of them and you will eat the bugs because we've told you you will and you'll be happy. Okay. It is part of the bigger plan. It is part of the old globalist thing. And I agree. If you cannot isolate the virus, it doesn't exist. And isn't it funny how world problems always emanate from China? And nobody ever takes on China except Donald J. Trump. He took on China and the whole world went apoplectic. The world cannot see what control China has. And, you know, we go on about all this, and I'm going to go on another rant, David. We go on about this, and why does this happen? Why does that happen? Yet we're sat here freezing our nads off because fuel prices have gone through the roof. Why? Because China invented something, released it, and the whole world will lock you down. They're doing that with the chickens. They did that with us. The only problem with us is they couldn't slaughter us in the way that they slaughtered the chickens.
Yes.
But what they have what they have done is poisoned us, and we will die in due course. Or those who were silly enough to take the so-called vaccine will die in due course. Sadly, that would include some of my family members.
Oh, and the same here as well, Jed, the same here as well. And again, I wonder, thanks for that. That's really interesting. And that just as a sort of as a side subject, I just wanted to throw this one in. I'll start with you, Adrian, and go back to Paddy, and then back to you, Jed. I have found, and this is through just personal experience, that just about all those around me, my extended family, let's call it like that, they have all taken the jabs. They're mostly all triple jabbed. None of them have been foolish enough to take four jabs, but most of them have taken three jabs. And almost universally, they've come down with colds, Adrian, or flus, bad chesty coughs, very sore throats. Some of them have had to go to, you know, take time off work and go to bed. And they're universally vaxxed, right? Universally vaxxed. Compare that to within my roof, the people that live in my house, no jabs. And there's been no ill health. And I understand this is the time of the year when people can get things. I totally get that. But you got to look around you and just think, boy, are we being vindicated by that which is happening. Adrian, come to you in this one. What's been your experience?
I'm one of very few people that I know that are unvaxxed. I get mocked and laughed at and whatnot, but Public Health England, and there was an American study released yesterday, have shown that the majority of people that are now passing away have had some form of vaccine for COVID. So when you understand what the mRNA technology done, it was reprogramming your mRNA. And that was done to weaken your immune system. So you will succumb to the most basic infection and your body will find it harder and harder to fight off. Therefore, you will get sick. You will catch a lot of diseases and some of them you will not get better from.
Yeah.
The best thing anybody can do is look after your immune system. Zinc stops the replication of viruses. Vitamin C and vitamin D are the three main things that you need. You do not need these vaccines. Honestly, don't. And we will be vindicated over time. It is just taking time for the information to come out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Adrian.
Can I just add that, David? I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I just add that? I agree with what Adrian's just said. It's D3 with K2. K2 helps you absorb the D3 vitamins. And that's where I take one a day, D3 at 4,000 units, whatever it is, and K2 at 100, because K2 helps you absorb.
Yeah, I just want to read out a few comments from some of the people on the stream here. Northern Monkey says, someone who he works with is complaining of constant headaches. They've been jabbed four times and wondering what's missing for the winter. And then John Saunderson responds, but think how much that would have been without the jabs. Northern Monkey's throwing in his penny's worth, ginger, lemon and manuka honey for winter months. Actually, guys, my take on this, Paddy, I'm going to come to you in a second, but my own view on this is that I think we're all in agreement that we all know that successive jabs weaken your immune system. And a weakened immune system is just not a good thing. Doesn't matter what age you are, by the way. A weakened immune system is a bad thing. It leaves you vulnerable, your body vulnerable. And therefore, the best thing you can do is take responsibility for your own good immune health. And you do that by, number one, not taking mRNA technology that's as likely to, you know, put you in the ground as do you any good whatsoever. And secondly, then, yes, support immunity. And there's different ways you can do that. But that's the principle. Paddy, I mean, can I ask, I mean, again, like, you know, Adrian's in a minority of people having not been jabbed. I'm in a minority of people around my group not being jabbed. What's the situation like for you?
Really, the only people not jabbed are me and Monica. I mean, everybody else around us is jabbed multiple times. And everyone everyone that's been jabbed has caught COVID at least three times since being jabbed. I caught it once very mildly at the beginning. Monica caught it once very, you know, they put her in the hospital at the beginning. But after that, we didn't catch nothing. Now I do have to qualify too. I didn't get the jab for several reasons. The main reason is I don't take any kind of I have no immune system. I had Lyme disease for 10 years so bad that nobody identified. Parts of me stopped working. So my immune system is super. I'm just getting over a bout of double pneumonia now, but it's because I catch the slightest thing. And I haven't been sick the last 2 years. I've caught maybe two. I just got a really bad one, you know, last month, but that was the worst one I've had in two years. But everybody around me who's gotten the shot has gotten sick, and I mean almost hospital sick, at least three times since getting the jab. And this was a test of a new delivery system where they altered people's DNA for, you know, a thing, and they used the whole world as a petri dish. Well, you know, this is wrong. This is actually Nuremberg level wrong.
Yeah, I do agree. Northern Monkey says, it's a miracle you guys are all alive. What with no jabs, medics? We're scientific marvels. But yet again, asking you fundamentally the same question as Adrian and Patty. I mean, you know, what's your situation regarding the people around you, and how are they at this point in the game regarding colds, flus, bugs, being sick, taking time off work, etc.?
I think pretty much what has already been said, to be honest, David. Me and my good lady are purebloods through and through, and we will stay that way. I just want people to understand here, okay? I don't take not having the jab lightly, okay? Because what I will tell you is I've had experimental jabs beyond what you think is experimental. Yep. Okay, 1990, 91, first Gulf War, I had all sorts of jabs on a daily basis for weeks and weeks on end, of which you don't even know what they're called. You can't even find out what they are called. They are that secret. So you know you've had an RNA. I don't know anything about those jabs I've had. And I took them, because I thought I was doing the right thing, even though at times, while I was taking them, I thought, is this right? Should I be doing this? But I did. You know, I was a young 20-something-year-old guy with a young family, a family on the way, so to speak, at that stage.
Yep, yeah.
And I took them. But I've grown and I've learned. And the government is not your friend. Absolutely not your friend. It only befriends you in this country every 5 years when it wants the X in the box. After that, it doesn't care about you at all. You can die the second you put that cross in the box, and they'll still come along and pat you on the back for putting the cross in the box and say, we'll see you in 5 years' time. And in 5 years' time, as you're a skeleton, unfortunately, in this country, the dead don't vote. I know what they do in the US. They vote quite regularly in the US, the dead.
Yeah.
But the point Democrat is, your government doesn't want you. The government doesn't like you. The government would rather you went away.
Yeah, Jed, you're absolutely right. And Patty's right as well. In Pennsylvania, the dead actually not just vote, but unbelievably, they win elections.
Yeah, they get elected. Patty, it's amazing.
They get elected. Honestly, Patty, I mean, Pennsylvania, seriously, you need to move states. You need
it's
to move.
It's a twilight zone. It's the worst. It is. It's a twilight zone.
Well, everywhere where Democrats say, well, I don't want to get it all in, fill into American politics, but, you know, if we look at California is a twilight zone as well because the Dems have control it. And you look at New York is now more and more like Gotham City, actually, than it, sort of the mythical Gotham City than the real New York. But, it's just interesting to observe all of this, this stuff going on. And it does vindicate those of us who have stayed pure blood, who have not knelt, have not taken the knee to the big pharma vaccine fanaticism. And I worry about the people that have. And, certainly, as I think we're consensus here across the piece, their immune systems are in trouble. And yet some of them will not all of them, but some will, like as that comment, so was it Northern Monkey said, some people will take a fourth. Some people are taking a fourth jab. Some people take a fifth jab because they're hooked on vaccines, Adrian. This is the problem. They don't look to their own body to support them. They look to the vaccine. But the vaccine is going to give them great damage potentially.
Yeah, it is, but it's not only the damage to the generation that have taken the vaccines. We have seen the large number of stillbirths. We have seen that birth rates are dropping all across the world, but it's those who have had the mRNA shot who have altered their DNA. What impact is that going to have for their children, their children's children, and so on? It's the long-term implications for humanity is actually quite worrying. And we have two control groups now. We have the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. So we will be able to develop long-term studies as to how these vaccines have altered humanity and the implications that the vaccines have caused for those who took several.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, Paddy, did you see Dr. Fauci's final press conference, in which he finished by saying that, you know, whatever else you do, make sure you get the vaccine because it's 100% safe and 100% effective. Did you see that speech?
Are we on a free spoken platform?
We're as family friendly as we can get.
Okay. Now, I did not listen to what the malignant little dwarf had to say. I just took his little goodbye speech and put above it, man should be tried for war crimes, and pass that along because he should be tried for war crimes. He should be audited. This man has become a multi-million dollars playing Dr. Frankenstein, and you know, on the taxpayer dollar. This guy is a modern day Mengele. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. You're absolutely right. In fact, in some regards, he's worse than Mengele, because Mengele's evil was restricted to one particular part of the world.
His name is maligned and he's persecuted. Fauci still thinks he's a hero, and like I said, he's worse. He's done stuff and played with germs and enabled our enemy. It's just gotten paid and made profit off of it the whole time. Now this is a devil incarnate. This is a demon walking the earth.
Yeah, no, I agree. And actually, Jed, just to go back to the point you made earlier, and it's something I feel so bad about, and it's true in the UK, and it's certainly true in the US, that our military, that the men and women in uniform, are treated horribly and treated like lab rats by these Frankensteins like Fauci and the rest of them. And as you experienced back in the Gulf back then in the 90s, but most latterly with these COVID jabs, I mean, essentially the military, if you were in uniform, you were expected to take your jab first, second, I don't know, third.
We've lost over 20% of our, well-trained, the professionals, our professional military, we've lost over 20% because they refused to take the jab and have been thrown out. It's a disgrace.
And it's a disgrace in the UK as well, Jed, isn't it?
Absolutely, David. I mean, the peer pressure I was under, because I do remember, actually, the more I sit here, the more I recollect. I do remember sitting in the back of that armoured vehicle in the middle of the desert and my boss saying, well, you know, this is not just for you, it's for the team. You need to be a team player. And that sort of pressure is also was put on this time round, wasn't it? You've got to take it to stop killing Granny. But we know it didn't stop killing Granny. Granny lived actually longer than a normal life expectancy. You see what I mean? Because the 82 being the life expectancy because of COVID. But it's that moral dilemma that they put you under. Do I take it even though I feel it's bad because I want to protect others or I want to be part of a team? And that is fundamentally wrong, because that takes away your free right to, because you are being coerced. And to coerce somebody into a medical procedure is a crime.
But I completely agree. But Adrian, just on that point, though, that one of the things that Fauci said was, in his farewell speech, was that really picking up on what Jed was saying, he was saying, make sure you take it for yourself because it also will help protect others. Now, how can he say that, Adrian? Because even Pfizer have admitted that they never tested the vaccines to see if it stopped transmission. That wasn't, they didn't do that. So if they didn't do those tests, they don't know. So how does Fauci know?
Because once you have told a lie and you are so deep in the hole, the only way is to continue on the lie. If he comes out now and says, yeah, well, it was all wrong, the world will blow up. Because you think of how many people took these vaccines, how many people have been damaged, have died, and the repercussions of him coming out now and saying, oh, we got it all wrong, would be massive. So he has to keep on with the lie.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very, very, very good point, actually. I mean, Paddy, that's pretty much the case. The likes of Fauci in the US and over here, the likes of Chris Whitties and Patrick Valances of this world, they cannot go back on what they said because
they'll never recant. They can't. Number one, they'll be admitting that and setting themselves up for massive prosecution. But they actually believe in what they did was right, and they'll never admit to being wrong. Period. They're that arrogant.
That's a fair point Paddy makes. These people, I think they probably do think that they were right and they were noble and that they were good. And so when they were scaring, you know, 3/4 of the country into taking the clot shots, that was a noble thing that they were doing.
I do think they believe they were right, but I also now know or believe they now know they were wrong. But they are so deep in to admit it, to admit to the crime. And, you know, Paddy said it earlier about Nuremberg, and I'm sure it's been mentioned several times. And I've mentioned it several times on other streams with you, David.
Yes.
The bottom line is there will not be a Nuremberg. The reason we had a Nuremberg back in after the Second World War was because good governments decided that they would take on and punish those responsible for the Holocaust. But the problem we have now is there are no good governments. They're all involved. They're all up to their neck in it. So who can stand there and point the finger and say, you did this and you should face trial? Because all they're doing is pointing the finger in the mirror at themselves because they know they need. So I think if we ever get a Nuremberg, it will be in a generation or two. And it will be retrospective. Some of those involved might be in the 70s or 80s or even 90s, but we will not actually get the key players like Boris Johnson, Biden's already two feet in the grave already. I'm sure he's being worked behind like a puppet. He's certainly being worked as a puppet, but you know what I mean. Those that were at the front line forcing this, the Matt Hancocks, the Boris Johnsons, and so on and so forth, the BBC, those people that were key to all this being pushed will be long gone, and it will be the underlings that, you know, were around Johnson at the time, you know, who have progressed through their career. They're now in the 60s and 70s and 80s. They're the ones that we might get to a trial, but the real criminals will get away with it scot-free because nobody will take them on.
And can I just bring Adrian in? You think you want to pop in, Adrian?
Yeah, no, honestly, I do think we will get a new Nuremberg. There's a lot of truth that's starting to come out. And the likes of Musk won't, I don't think he's going to ban people now for putting truth out about vaccines. And the more people wake up and the more they start to realize things, the angrier they will get and it will be forced upon us. But the thing I wanted to say is we have people like Piers Morgan who called us on vaccine murderers. Okay, he's now trying to walk back saying, oh, but we were following the science. The thing is, the majority of the people will not understand the science if they were told it to them. So these people have carte blanche just to tell us, oh, the data, the facts prove this, that, and the other. And we will never be able to dispute that with them because of our lack of knowledge and understanding in that subject field. The thing is, it is the ordinary person who is coming out and telling their tales of, oh, look, I'm having such headaches now, or I've got this side effect and this side effect. That is the evidence that we will be able to use to prosecute these people.
Yeah, I don't know. Can I ask? Has anyone seen that? I watched it last evening. The movie Died Suddenly. Has anyone else seen that?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm afraid no.
Sorry, David. Yeah. Not seen.
Yeah, you should all watch Died Suddenly. It's on Rumble, and it is very, very powerful. Oh, Leslie, I think Leslie's seen it. It is very, 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 I mean, you talk about if you were seeking to have evidence to launch a Nuremberg trial, it's all in it. It's really, really good. And it lets you see that the what's going on, it has been documented. And that's because, as you guys are all saying, the evidence, Adrian, the evidence is bubbled up, and it's so massive that they cannot control it anymore. All the stories of people dying, young people dying suddenly, people having all kinds of horrible adverse reactions like Bell's palsy or myocarditis, all these things. And in fact, I was speaking to Dr. Cartland, who some of you may know, on one of my live streams recently. And, one of the points that he was making is if you are a young person, and these jabs are particularly dangerous for young people, people maybe in their teens and maybe early 20s, young males in particular. And if they get myocarditis, it's for life, for however that life might be. So you know what I mean? You don't get just mild myocarditis. So this is like generational destruction that's been wrought on humanity by these monsters. So I it's good that they're documented, and I do recommend that you all watch that particular movie. Just before we go, I know we're almost done, but I'm going to stay on for a couple of minutes. I did put on the third topic I wanted to touch on, just very briefly, admittedly. Record UK legal migration, not illegal migration. No, we're not going to talk about illegal migration, even though that's at a record high. But some of you may have seen the news today that the UK in the past year has experienced the largest, I think, 500,000 plus net migration numbers. So this is legal migration into the UK. The biggest number in I don't know how long. And this is all from the government that told us that don't worry about us, vote for us Tories. We're gonna control migration. Were you surprised at this, Jed?
No. No. There is no will, no want, no energy, no policy, no nothing to stop illegal and legal migration. They want this country turned into a third world country. So we are at the beck and call of the government of the day, going, please, sir, can I have some more? More? You had more last month. Yeah, that's what they want. And they can do that by flooding this country with cheap third world labour and overriding the rights of the people of this country. Because I've already told you, the government doesn't care about you whatsoever. You're just an annoyance to their global plan, to their friends at the WEF, to the friends at the WHO or the UN or the G20 or the G8. Notice how it's all the same people involved in all of these same clubs. It's a cabal. It is a dominating, controlling factor. And they don't want you, and they want this country downtrodden. They'll sit in their ivory towers. They'll fly their private jets. They'll have their petrol and diesel cars and their yachts and what have you. And you will be fed scraps, and you will like it.
Yeah, no, true. That's true enough. Although, Adrian, a lot of this huge number of migrants that have come here are, number one, from Hong Kong. and number two from Ukraine. So the government deliberately opened the floodgates to them as well as from certain other parts of the world. But I mean, were you surprised at the scale of this?
I'm surprised that it's not higher. It probably is higher, and they're just not telling us. The Hong Kong thing is understandable because part of the terms and conditions of handing China back, anybody born in Hong Kong had the right to come and live in the UK as part of that. So they really shouldn't be counted, I don't think. But I would say those numbers are probably double that.
Yeah, so would I. Yeah. The truth. Yeah, because there's just, because there's Ukrainians amongst that. I mean, you know, God knows how many Ukrainians we have here. Actually, just like God knows how many Ukrainians we have down in the south of Ireland. I don't know if you saw, Adrian, the story that happened last week down in Dublin, where a couple of coach loads, at least, of young men, all young men, no women, no kids, all rocked up at the East Wall, just outside Dublin Port, to be given government accommodation. That was lovely, wasn't it?
David, I follow a couple of people who are based down south, and some of the articles that they're putting out and the videos and whatnot, and the amount of young women and young children that are being harassed by these people coming in. There's certain towns and villages now where young ladies are just afraid to walk the streets. They can't go out on their own because they're being harassed. Mm. Mm. And it just shows that they don't care about us. As Jed said, they do not care.
Can I just give a big shout out to my friend Gemma O'Doherty, the prominent Irish journalist who does a great job in documenting what is the betrayal of the Irish people by the Irish government in exactly the same way as the British people are being betrayed by the British government. Paddy, I know it's a wee bit different for you over there, but the fact is that, of course, you're being betrayed by your own government because you don't have a southern border to all intents and purposes.
Right now, it's at the last fairly accurate census put it at last year, for every four Americans that were born as natural citizens, three illegals came across the border for. And that's the numbers they're reporting. So the numbers are probably double that. So it's probably six illegals. The Democrats, not only have they just opened up the border and just let anybody pour in, including the over 100 terrorist watch list ones we caught, God knows how many we missed. They've also, at the same time, too, shut off our nation's economy by shutting off the oil and committed us to buying everything from China. Joe Biden has slaved us to the Chinese. So again, you want to talk about the influence of the Chinese. This is, you know, if this isn't reversed and China isn't put back in its box, the whole world's got issues, man, because they want to run everything and they're damn close to doing it.
Yep, nope, you're right in that. Okay, well, we are at the end of our allocated time.
Can I shill again, David?
Yes, indeed, yep.
Right, I'm going to shill. DavidVance.net, we did have a couple of questions this week for people who wish to submit articles, whether they need on the submission form to put their real name. No, you do not. You don't even have to put a name. If you do not put a name, we will post it as a nom. But if you do put a name, it can be a pen name, it could be anything you want. Just obviously keep it clean, and you can post your articles. So those that want to do that, please go over there. We'll review it before it goes out. So if you're not great at spelling either, it will get reviewed. I'm not a great speller, am I, David? As you know. So if you've got that concern as well, not a problem. We're there to help you, and the admin team will have a look at that and post it on your behalf. Again, anonymous if you wish to do so. But get over to DavidVance.net. His article's out at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, UK time, on the LBGT, being shown the red card at the World Cup. Sorry, David, I've got to do that. DavidVance.net.
Yeah, so look, Jed, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much, Adrian. Thank you very much, Paddy. And of course, a very special, again, happy Thanksgiving to you, my good friend, and your family and everyone else in the USA. Listen, folks, I appreciate you all being here. It's been a really good fun hour and a bit. I appreciate that. And you can, of course, get me on davidvance.net. You can get me in Getter. You can get me on the podcast channel, of course, with all the podcasts. And you can even now get me back on Twitter.
What's your handle on Twitter, David, so everybody knows, for all the new people that are fresh since you were last on Twitter?
Yeah, actually, my handle on Twitter is DVATW, which is a weird, sort of weird, but if you type in Twitter, David Vance, you will get the actual me on it. But whenever I started way, way back, and Paddy will obviously recognize the handle, DVATW, the ATW referred to a Tangled Web, which was the first kind of website thing that we put into being way, way back in the day in the year 2000, I think. So, but anyway, David Vance is back on the Twitter. So a big shout out to Elon Musk. Hey, Elon, if you're listening in, I do appreciate the platform. But as I say, no quarters will be given, just like they weren't given in the past. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for all the great kind gifts. Thank you for your support. Nath wanted to know about the shop. The shop is currently down. We're going to rejig the shop and make it an even better shop, Nath. And I know you did take some merchandise from it, for which I'm deeply appreciative as well. So thank you, guys. This is always the fun part of the week, spending this with you. So many thanks. Don't forget, the podcasts are back again out tomorrow. I'm off to London this weekend, so there'll be a little bit less activity, but there will be a Sunday special. There will be a Sunday special, even though I'm in London. So just to let you know. Right, guys, that's it. Wishing you all a great evening, and again, a happy Thanksgiving to all our American friends. Thank you, everyone, and good night.